Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is the last Tuesday of the month, the last Tuesday of the month of May. You listen to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are having in-person services. We invite you to come and be a part of the services at First Baptist. Our services start each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. we are live in the sanctuary at First Baptist. Of course, we are following all safety protocol. We're asking that you wear face covering. We're practicing social distancing. We're taking temperatures as you come into the sanctuary. We're doing all that we possibly can to make sure that we're staying safe during this very difficult time in our nation's history. But you will come and be a part of the services. We would cordially invite you to do so, to be a part of First Baptist. Now, there are three ways in which you can give to the house of God. You can come by the church, or you can come to church each Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. Bring your tithes and your offerings with you, or you can mail your tithes and offerings to the church. Go to the Facebook page. You'll find the correct mailing address for that. You can also use the Cash App. We do have a Cash App. It starts with a dollar sign, the letters FBCHS. That stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can be a supporter of the house of God tonight. We invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share so others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. On the Facebook page, you'll find our Sunday morning service. As I said before, we go live every Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, on Facebook. You'll also find the link for the Bible study, which you're listening to right now. There also is a call-in number, area code 845-241-9839, area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number and you can be a part of the Bible study as well. On the Facebook page, you'll find information about First Baptist. You'll find all the Bible studies that we have done this year. You'll find events that are coming up at First Baptist, so you can always stay in touch with. So we invite you to go there and then like and then share so others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. I want to remind you that the month of June, we're celebrating Men's Day, second Sunday in June, Men's Day, the second Sunday in June. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. Reverend Edward Holloway is going to be our special guest for that particular Sunday. We want you to come out and enjoy a great time in the Lord with us. Also, this month, revival is coming to First Baptist, June the 9th and June the 10th. We're going to have revival. Services start at 7 p.m. nightly. Thursday night, Reverend John Russell. Friday night, Reverend Coleman Elliott. Two great preachers, two great ministers of the law of the Lord. They're going to come and break the bread of life with us this year's revival. So come and be a part of the revival services or part of the Sunday morning service. You're cordially invited to come at any time and be a part of the unique experience that is social and First Baptist of Holly Springs. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for another Bible study. Thank you for those who are on the line, those who are listening to this Bible study over the internet, those who will hear this Bible study long after it's been recorded. We pray, God, that as we go through our lesson tonight, you'll open our minds, give us clarity, that we may understand what thus saith the Lord. We thank you, God, for each and every member of the congregation. We pray that you will continue to guide us and keep us as we go forward. Serving you, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, don't forget, second Sunday, Men's Day, our special speaker will be Reverend Edward Holloway. Chairman for the Men's Day program will be Brother George Ward. So come and have a great time with us as we celebrate Men's Day at First Baptist. Okay, our lesson for tonight comes from the book of Jonah. It is a very old and familiar lesson, but this part of the lesson takes part after the big fish situation, after Jonah has been swallowed by the big fish. And the word of the Lord comes to him for the second time from Jonah, the third chapter, verses 1 through 10, Jonah 3, verses 1 through 10. I'm going to pause for a minute while you find Jonah 3. Jonah 3, third chapter of Jonah. Jonah is unique among the book of the prophets in that it centers around Jonah's own responses to God rather than focusing on the content of his prophetic message. Jonah is also unique in that his prophetic message was exclusively for a single non-Israelite nation. The Ninevites had a terrible reputation. Nahum described Nineveh as a city of bloodshed and lies, also a city of plunder. Zephaniah called it a spoiled, defiled, oppressed city. The Ninevites were crude and carnal. They were crude in war and excessively self-indulgent. Although God extended mercy toward Jonah by giving him another opportunity to obey him, Jonah objected to God showing mercy to the Ninevites and giving them a chance to repent and be spared of his judgment. God's desire was to redeem the city of Nineveh, not to destroy it. God may relent it and change his mind based on the sincerity of human response. Jonah is very unique in this particular area. Jonah is one of the 12 minor prophets, so-called simply because of the shorter length of his writing. There is nothing minor about the message that Jonah brings forth. One of the challenges of reading this particular book is you must overcome the study of Jonah as his prophetic message and deal with him as a man. The prophet Amos noted that his ministry was conducted during the reign of Isaiah, Uzziah, king of Judah, and Jeroboam, son of Joash. The history of Nineveh goes back nearly 6,000 years, making it one of the oldest cities in history. The city was the capital of the mighty Assyrian Empire, making it the most important city in the ancient Near East. Nineveh was established on the eastern bank of the Tigris River. You'll find that in the book of Genesis. Genesis 10 and 11 also states that Nineveh was founded by Nimrod, the son of Cush. There is some understanding and some agreement and disagreement as to how long that city had been standing. But the Assyrian Empire played a pivotal role in the power struggle that dominated the ancient Near East in the 9th and 8th century. Primarily, the Assyrians competed with Egypt for control and domination of Israel. There was a valuable trade route between Africa and Asia. Control of Israel's land was vital to creating wealth for opening new markets for trade and commerce. During the 14th year of the reign of Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against and fortified city of Judah and seized it. Sennacherib sent a letter to Hezekiah demanding the surrender of Jerusalem. Rather than complying with the letter, Hezekiah took the letter to the temple and laid it before the Lord. You'll find that according to 2 Kings 19 and 14. In 2 Kings 19 and 35, the angel of the Lord devastated the Assyrian army, striking down more than 185,000 soldiers. Afterwards, Sennacherib returned to his home in Nineveh. And during this time of the Assyrian king, and Nineveh grew and prospered. It was during the reign of this reign that the northern kingdom fell and was swallowed up by the Assyrians. The Assyrian Empire overrun and conquered the Babylonian and the Medes, and the Assyrian Empire never again regained prominence in that region. So Jonah was called by God to go to this great city of Nineveh. He resisted God's assignment and attempted to flee to Tarshish. Jonah, perhaps the best-known example of someone who blatantly refused God's call. God directed Jonah to go and preach to a nation of people that he hated. Eventually, considerable intervention by God, Jonah was convinced to obey and go to Nineveh. Jonah preached for 40 days in Nineveh before the people repented and judgment was averted. You see, many men and women know the pressure of being called to ministry, the absolute conviction of a personal call by God to do the work of the ministry is the key that determines whether a person will remain faithful to the call. The conviction that God calls people for his own purpose undergrades the work and the teaching and the preaching and evangelism. All are part of God's plan for the ministry. All believers are called to serve a larger purpose of God in the world, which is to expand and spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we go down to this, we open up this book, this third chapter, we come to a second chance that Jonah has. This is after being swallowed by the fish and being spewed out. For in that third chapter, the first verse says, first through fourth verse says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried, and he said, yet 40 days. And Nineveh shall be overthrown. The chapter begins with the word of the Lord coming to Jonah a second time. Jonah had a calling upon his life that he initially tried to escape. Initially, the Lord had commanded him to go to Nineveh. Instead, he went to Joppa and tried to flee to a place called Tarshish, believed to be on the east coast of Spain or near the island of Crete. God had called him, and there was no running away. The Lord had been slow to anger and very patient with Jonah. He calls men and he calls women to specific assignments that they cannot and will not elude or escape. In verse 2, Jonah receives a commission and a divine mission from God. This commission contains three imperative commands. Arise, go, and preach. This time, Jonah did not evade the call. Rather, he responded in absolute obedience and went to Nineveh. He went to Nineveh. Joppa, the city that Jonah boarded the ship attempting to crawl, escape God's will, was on the Mediterranean coast of Israel. It would have been a few days, maybe even 2 or 3 weeks to travel to Nineveh. This time, Jonah was ready to deliver the message that the Lord had given him for Nineveh. In verse 3, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. For, as I said before, in verse 2, there were three imperatives, to arise, to go, and to preach. Those were the three things that Jonah had to do. He had to first get up from where he was going, where he was. He could not do it where he was. He was instructed to get up, go, and then when you get to where you're going, where I have sent you, preach the word of the Lord. In verse 3, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, and he went to Nineveh. In this verse, Nineveh is described as an exceedingly great city. At that time, it was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, eastern bank of the Tigris River, in what is now modern-day Iraq. According to Genesis 10:11, the city was founded and built by Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. There are no contextual clues to indicate the notation of the phrase exceedingly great city. It may be that Nineveh was either a large city with respect to land mass or population, or probably a wealthy city teeming with grand palaces, bustling with trade and commercial areas. The mention of 3 days' journey could mean that it took Jonah 3 days to walk around the city or through the city. This would support the belief that Nineveh was a very large city. Any city that it took 3 days to walk around or to walk was a very large city. In verse 4, Jonah finally enters the city, and he went a day's journey, more than likely to the center of the city. In many ancient cities, the marketplace is where one would find the largest number of people gathered. The Apostle Paul used a similar strategy by going into the city marketplaces to preach and to minister in the public square. Jonah's message was simple and direct. He cried out in a loud voice that in 40 days this city shall be overthrown. The once reluctant prophet, the once reluctant preacher, now was standing before hostile people to do the work that the Lord had placed upon him. Even if he had been rejected, he was there to do so. So the people of Nineveh believed, because in verse 5-9, it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe before him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be a proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? You see, this response of the people of Nineveh was almost instantaneous. Verse 5 cites two reactions to Jonah's message. First, the people believed God, which simply means that the message of God through Jonah produced a powerful reaction. You'll find that in 1 Samuel 7:21-23. They believed God. They believed what God had brought before them. That's the very basics of what has to happen for one to become into the full scope of God. First, you must believe. They believed. Whatever else Jonah did or didn't do, he convinced the people to believe and take God seriously. That is the first step that one must do to come to the Lord. They must believe and to take him seriously and to take his word seriously as well. Secondly, the people proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, which is a coarsely woven fabric made of goat hair. Fasting was the practice of not eating or drinking over a set period of time. The normal fast would last from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. In most contexts, fasting was typically seen as an expression of great humility. In Nineveh, everyone committed to fasting and repentance, from the very least of the city to the greatest. At some point, news of Jonah's preaching reached the ear of the king of Nineveh. The text records that the king himself was struck by Jonah's message. He arose from his throne, and he put on the clothes of mourning, sackcloth and ashes. He went a step further, and he sat in the ashes, a sign of deep inner agony and regret. Jonah's preaching touched the heart of the king and stirred within him the need to repent and to pray. The king and his nobles issued a proclamation that everyone was to begin fasting. They were to eat no food nor drink any water. This was a total fast that included all the people, all the herds, all the flocks that the nobles joined, and the king suggested that there was harmony, cooperation between the king and his leaders. In verses 8 and 9, Jonah's preaching sets off a period of mourning and repentance of sin. No one or any living creature was excluded from the fast. The king announced that everyone was to cry out to God in deep agony and sincerity. You see, God objected to the personal, cooperative evil of the city and set the date for every man and every woman to bow before him. The king believed that if the people genuinely repented, then God might be persuaded to change his mind about whether to unleash his wrath upon the wicked nation. Not only was there a deep sense of humility and fear, but also there was a sense of hope and forgiveness and grace that was expressed by these words. When he says, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger? Nineveh was likely filled with anxiety and stress as the inhabitants waited for God's judgment. The possibility remained that disaster could be averted, but it depended upon God, whom Jonah proclaimed. God was free to pardon Nineveh and to lift the cloud of their impending destruction. Just as God was free to give Jonah a second chance, he was just as free to give Nineveh a second chance as well. Down there in that last verse, he says, And God saw their works, that they turned from their wicked way, and the Lord repented of their evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. You see, God paid attention to the people's response to his word through Jonah. He changed their mind, or they changed his mind. God saw the acts of repentance. He heard the pleas of mercy. God sees beyond the physical appearance and the outward emotion. He sees the heart. The Lord knew that the Ninevites displayed humanity, and they were genuine in their display. People of Nineveh turned from their evil ways. This moved God to change his mind. The word repent does not mean that God had committed some wrong that needed to be addressed. Rather, it means that God was moved with compassion for the people of Nineveh and decided not to execute his fierce wrath upon them. God is merciful and full of compassion. He delights in forgiveness of mercy. So why this message? Why this lesson tonight? Why did we bring this up, this old story that has been written and told so many times? Why have we brought that up tonight? Because we find ourselves living in a modern-day Nineveh. We find ourselves living in a city, living in a place, living in a society that is full of violence, that is cruel. A city that has no other things of God. But beloved, the thing about this particular scripture that makes it so good is because that God can change his mind. Right now, we are headed for destruction. If we don't change, if we don't turn back toward God, if we don't drop all of the idolatry, drop all of the sinful ways that we are living in this nation, and in this world, and in our lives, then God's punishment will fall squarely upon our shoulders. But we have a God that's righteous. We have a God that will look beyond our faults and will see our needs. We're living in a modern-day Nineveh. We need to repent. We need to fast. We need to seek God's mercy and to ask God to save us and to bring us away from where we are to where he would have us to be. You see, God's and just like the king of Nineveh, the king announced to everyone, we find that only when things happen bad in this country, whenever things go wrong, whenever things go bad, that's when people begin to cry out to God. But as long as things are going well, we don't seem to have a need to cry out to God. And sometimes that puts us in a position where we forget about the fact that it's in him we move, it's in him that we live, it's in him that we have our being. And when we forget about God, when we go away from God, when we begin to live sinful lives and live lives like the people of Nineveh, we find ourselves going through the same thing that Nineveh went through. You see, the book of Jonah provides three lessons that are relevant in every generation. The first lesson is that it is impossible to flee from God, no matter who you are. No matter how much success you may have, no matter what you believe, it's impossible to flee away from God. There is no distance or secret cave that you can hide in that can conceal your presence from the Lord. In the book of Psalm 139, division of Psalm, verse 7, David said, where can I go from thy spirit? Or where can I flee from thy presence? The presence of the Lord is in every place. And when he calls you to an assignment, there is no escape. The book of Jonah reveals the loving compassion of God for a man who hated the people to whom he was sent. You see, many times, our first answer to the call of God is to lay out our inadequacies, our shortcomings. Moses responded to God's call by inquiring about what would happen if the people would not believe him or listen to him. And then Moses had a second objection, namely the fact that he said, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I can't speak well. In each instance, the Lord assured him that he was the right person for the task. God can equip you to do exactly what he wants you to do. Then secondly, we see the power of the prophetic preaching and how it can change the direction of an entire, and this generation is often silent on many of the cultural issues that have gripped this nation. Let me say that again. The church, I'm not talking about just First Baptist. I'm talking about the church body itself. The church in this generation is often silent on many of the social and cultural issues that we have gripping this nation. God calls today's preachers and today's believers to deliver a message that is often viewed with cynicism, skepticism, and diversion. God is still calling people to repentance as the wages of sin is death. Stand today, just as we celebrate our great time in America. America and the world needs prophetic preaching. Prophetic preaching goes to the very heart of the human condition, convicting people of their sins. Such preaching is driven by the deep sense of the urgency of the hour for a message that promotes God's agenda rather than the world agenda. And that's one of the problems that we are facing in our nation today. We are promoting the world's agenda instead of promoting God's agenda. But there is a sense of urgency. The hour has come. We're getting late in the evening, and the hour is steady coming that we must come to realize the condition that we're living in, the human condition that we place others in, find ourselves in, and the sins that we find ourselves living with. Then thirdly, Jonah reminds us that the Lord God is free to do whatever he wishes to do. Let me say that again. Jonah reminds us that the Lord God is free to do whatever he wishes to do. Jonah features the sovereignty of God on full display. God is not bound by human prejudice. God is not bound by human hatred. He is free to love. He's free to bless. He's free to forgive whoever he wishes. This, then, is the great lesson from Jonah. Love one another and even your enemies. This book of Jonah has a great, great lesson for us tonight. For the call to Christian ministry begins with an understanding of the mission of God as manifested through the ministry of Jesus Christ. You see, Christian ministry is an extension of the ministry of Jesus. When Jesus offered Zacharias the message of salvation and call to repentance, he revealed his own personal mission. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. On the occasion when Jesus corrected and calmed all an argument between his disciples over the question of seats in the kingdom, he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is our lesson for tonight. Prophet Jonah. The prophet Jonah tells us today that we need to get our act in line. God has sent many Jonahs to preach the word of God. There's nowhere you can go on God's green earth and not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody's preaching every day, all day. There's a preacher in every pulpit. There's a church on every corner, and somebody's telling the story of Jesus Christ and his life. So we cannot run from it. We cannot claim that we have not heard it. We cannot ignore it. We cannot stand by idle thinking that it will just simply go away. No, it will not. For the word has been reaching us for a long time. And God is warning us. He's telling us that our time is about up. That this nation, this world, just like the city of Nineveh, can be destroyed in less than 3 days. We must gird our loins, beloved, put on our sackcloth and our ashes, and begin to petition and pray and ask God to clear our way for us to salvation. From the line tonight, there may be some who would like to speak on some of the stuff that we talked about on this lesson tonight. Jonah was called by God to go to the great city of Nineveh. He resisted God's assignment and attempted to flee to Tarshish. Jonah is perhaps the best-known example of someone who blatantly refused God's call. But God directed him to go, and God equipped him with what he needed to do when he got there. I'm going to open the lines tonight. Maybe someone would like to speak. Of course, now you're not obligated. You can just simply say, I'm listening, and we'll go on to the next call. All right. Let's go to Eric Hope. Let's see. Let's go to area code 757. Last four digits, 5803. Are you on the line?
I am. Good evening, Pastor Rogers and everyone.
Good evening.
I actually joined late today, and I apologize for that. So first, may I ask you, what was the title? Hello?
A call to ministry, a change for the better.
Okay. And I did figure out where you were coming from. I believe it was Jonah 3, 1 through 10.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. I did enjoy what I did catch. I got the three lessons, that it's impossible to flee from God, that the power of the prophetic preaching, and Lord God is free to do whatever he wishes to do. So I didn't catch a lot tonight. I do apologize.
No problem. No problem. I understand. Let's go to area code 919. Last four digits, 2314. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Reverend Rogers?
Doing great. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm good. I enjoyed the lesson. I just have a few little points here to say, God, we know Jonah, he was a man of God, and he knew that he couldn't run or hide from the Lord. So he was not about to obey God again. So when God tells us to do something, we really need to do it. And one thing was that Jonah, that he was really upset about going to, is that Nineveh, yeah, because he knew that God would not destroy those people, you know, once they repented. And Jonah, his sin was passing judgment on the people to the point of refusing to pray for the people, just like so many people today. We have already passed judgment on someone, or for whatsoever reason, saying that a person to be beyond hope. But we know that the Bible tells us to judge not, that ye be not judged. And like we like Jonah, we rebelled against God by running in the opposite direction when he tells us to go right. We want to go left, but we know that God is forgiven, and he gives us a second chance, third chance, and on and on. And we know that we can't run from the presence of God no matter where we go. And really, he prepared the whale to swallow Jonah for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and once he spent that time in, you know, he in there, he after he swallowed, he was praying and he was seeking God. So, you know, that made a change And there are many Christians who believe in the Bible today, and you know, who know men are lost and who know there's a eternal hell, and they fail to warn the lost. That's all I have.
Absolutely. That's a very good synopsis of the whole scripture. That's exactly what the lesson is about. Exactly. Thank you so very much. Area code 919-4 digits 2534. Are you on the line?
Hey, Pastor Rogers.
Hey, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I've been running back and forth. I checked in a little bit late, but I'm just listening in tonight. Thank you for the good lesson.
Okay, no problem. No problem. Okay, thank you. Thank you for listening. Area code 919, last four digits, 3447. Are you on the line?
Hey, Pastor Ross, this is Deacon Fuller.
Deacon Fuller, how are you tonight?
Doing good. How are y'all?
Doing good.
Okay. I just, the one thing I'll pick up about it, and I laugh about it, God will sure take you out of your comfort zone. And I think about Moses, and I think about Jonah, and how comfortable they were, and how you can run, but you can't hide. And then my mind goes back to when Genesis, when God was walking through the garden in the cool of the day, asking where Adam and Eve, where they were. He knew where they were. He was just, it was a rhetorical question. But we can't run from God and the call that has been put on our lives. I don't care if you are the janitor of a Fortune 500 company or the president of that Fortune 500 company. He put the call on your life. You have to you have to take heed, because he'll put that if you ignore him, he'll put things in your path, and you end up in that same spot. It's almost like like that game Plinko. Everybody, you know, Plinko on Price is Right. You try to get to that $10,000 thing. You can start anywhere on that board. You can start anywhere on that board with God. And I don't care what position, but he's going to put you where he wants you to go.
Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank
everybody
you. I'm going to come back to you in just a minute with a question. Let's go to area code 609, last four digits, 9126. 9126, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor. Hi. Hi, everyone.
Doing fine.
I'm listening. I don't have much to say tonight. If I say anything, you can run, but you can't hide from God, for sure.
Amen. Amen. That sums it up. Amen. Area code 91910, last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor. How you doing tonight? How's everybody?
Doing great. How are you? Doing great. Doing great.
I'm doing good. One thing that stood out to me was God was not bound to anything. You know, he's free to do whatever he pleases to do. And that's one thing he did with Jonah. Yes. Jonah, he was sort of like judging the town on what he thought it would be, and God had other plans. And that's what really stood out, that he had other plans, and his plan always comes to pass.
Why do you think Nineveh was so judgmental? Jonah was so judgmental toward Nineveh?
Well, if I remember it, he felt that the people were not doing what God had wanted them to do, or whatever. They were not doing what he wanted them to do, and he just felt like it was just no hope for him, and it really would. He would just be a waste of time for him to go down there.
Absolutely. Do you think also that it could have been a cultural issue, because you know Nineveh was not Jewish, not Israelitic nation, and Jonah was Jewish. Jewish guy, and he didn't want to go to a Gentile nation. So it might have been a cultural thing as well. You think so?
Could have. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about it like that, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times we don't want to. We don't want to, like a deacon said earlier. A lot of times we get out of our comfort zone. And God
mm-hmm.
will call us to go to places where we're not comfortable. And
mm-hmm.
right. And perhaps, I'm just thinking, I can't think for Jonah, but I'm thinking perhaps
mm-hmm.
one of the things that made him apprehensive was the fact that he was stepping completely out of his culture and preaching
mm-hmm.
to a people of a different culture, you know. And that sometimes could cause people to be apprehensive about bringing the word of the Lord to them as well. I want to go back to Deacon Fuller. Deacon Fuller, you still there? Deacon Fuller, are you there?
Uh-huh.
You spoke earlier about a call on your life. You talked about how God can place a call on your life. What do you think most people do? Do they react like Jonah? Do you think most people try to run away from that call?
I do. It depends on where you are, where God. Some people get a call in their life and they're in the middle of the liquor house. Some
uh-huh.
people get a call in their life and they've been going to church for 25, 30 years and they get that call.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But in both cases, even in the man in the liquor house going wrong, even in the church, you get a call in your life. You're faithful with Moses. A lot of us do what Moses did. Well, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't talk eloquently in front of these people. I stutter. But God always puts words in your mouth. But we tend to do that no matter what. A lot of the times, where we are in our walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
The man
mm-hmm.
in the liquor house don't want to do it because he's comfortable where he is. He's
right.
comfortable.
Right.
Otherwise, he wouldn't be in the liquor house. The one sitting in the
mm-hmm.
pew is comfortable sitting in the pew and letting other folks do the work. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think this is my opinion. I think the majority of the time we run, we do. We either come
mm-hmm.
up, we come up with 101 excuses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking personally.
I understand. Ms. Mangum, one of the things that I said earlier is that the call to Christian ministry begins with the understanding of the mission of God manifested through Jesus Christ. In other words, one cannot go into ministry. I'm not talking about ministers. I'm not talking about preachers or pastors. I'm talking about as disciples. We are all called to the mission of God. Do you think
mm-hmm.
that most people in the church understand that, or they just think that just being saved is good enough?
No, I think some people in the church don't realize that because, like you said, you know, we're all supposed to be missionaries in the church
mm-hmm.
and do what missionary work is about. But that should be
mm-hmm.
one of the strongest ministries in the church, according to
mm-hmm.
What I've learned from the association, that the
mm-hmm.
your mission ministry should
right.
be the strongest ministry in your church.
Right.
Because, you know, you're supposed
right.
to do a lot of going out and trying to get people back in, and a lot of projects that you can do to encourage people to come to the house of God.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, I agree. I agree with you 100%. The ministry and the mission go hand in hand. One cannot have a church
mm-hmm.
and not have a ministry. And there are many churches who do not have missions. They don't even have a
mm-hmm.
missionary department. They don't even have missions at all, especially those newly formed churches that have just formed in the last 20 years or more. Most of those churches are basically talking about the people within the church. They don't try to go outside of the church. Now, every now and then, they have a hot dog a social, or they'll have a spaghetti dinner social or something where they invite people in. But that's not ministry. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I think we get confused as to what ministry really is when it comes down mm-hmm. to dealing with our people. I want to ask another question. Do you think, and this is for anyone, Deaconess Rainey. Deaconess Rainey, fasting and praying. You think that's old-fashioned?
No. I think they fasting and praying goes together. Because you're denying the physical, your fleshly part, and trying to get in tune with the spiritual part of your body, you know, of your mm-hmm. being.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they go hand in hand.
Yeah, I do as well. And the fact that in this lesson, the fact that the king heard the word and then he mm-hmm. made a proclamation that everyone should fast mm-hmm. and pray, even the herd, even the flocks had to fast. Everybody mm-hmm. in the nation, mm-hmm. in that whole city had to fast and cry out mm-hmm. to the Lord. I think one of the things that we think is that, you know, we think fasting is a social thing where we're fast and we want everyone to know that we're fasting, want everyone to know mm-hmm. that we're praying, and we'll go around for 2 or 3 days telling folks how hard it is to fast and stuff like that. But I think fasting is a personal thing that goes between the believer and God. Mm-hmm. That is something that is tied directly between the believer and God himself. And a lot of times I think we get it mixed up. I think we want the world to know we're fasting instead of mm-hmm. letting God know we're fasting and let God know that we are trying to do according to his will. I got a couple more questions. I'm going to let you go. Area code 609-9126. Who is this again?
Francis. Hello?
Beg your pardon. Hello?
9126.
Uh-huh.
Francis,
I'm sorry. Okay. I got you now. I didn't recognize your voice. That's all right. I didn't recognize your voice. Sister Francis, let me ask you a question. The book of Jonah provides these lessons for us for this modern-day generation. Do you think that as we read the book of Jonah, we think about more about the fish rather than about the message? Do you think that, you know, when you hear the name Jonah, the first thing you think about is the fish, the big fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what about the message? What about the message? Do you think we refer to that fish more than the message?
I think I'm going to speak for myself, because when I was in Sunday school, it was more about the fish. Now, as mm-hmm. I've gotten older and attend Bible study, I'm pretty sure it's about the message, the mission that God appointed Jonah. And Jonah, disobedience, or he tried to run away from it, and as a result, he suffered, and then he still had to do what God had appointed him to do in the very beginning.
And it's interesting to note that every move that he made on that first call, he was going down. He took a trip down to Joppa, which is geographically south of where he was. And then he took another trip even further down to Tarshish. In other words, when you try to run away from God, you're going down. I think that's one of the things that this particular lesson teaches as well. Jonah is so representative of all of us. All of us got a little Jonah in us. All of us do. All of us want to run away from what God wants us to do. And oftentimes mm-hmm. when we do that, we find ourselves going in the wrong direction. And that wrong direction is usually down. Mm-hmm. We need to be going up instead of going down. And Jonah certifies that well as he goes down from one place to another place. Another thing I wanted to say about Jonah is the fact that after his preaching, the preaching of the gospel is so powerful that even a wicked city could turn. I'm talking about that must have been some sermon that Jonah put down in Nineveh, because the Bible said that it was a wicked city. And this man, in a span of 3 days, or actually quicker than 3 days, turned a whole city around. That tells about the power of the gospel of God, of the message of God. God's message has power by itself. We don't need to add nothing. We don't need to take nothing away. If we do it the same way God gave it to us, then it can be effective, just like it was in Nineveh. This man, Jonah, preached to a wicked city, and the whole city was saved. That's amazing to me. And I want us to remember that as we end our lesson tonight. We need to know today that we're living in a place today where we need the prophetic preaching of God to turn us around. And perhaps America can be saved, and perhaps we can be saved, and perhaps we won't go through the wrath of God like Nineveh did if we listen to the word that is being spoken by the prophets that God is sending our way. Anyone else have anything else they'd like to say? Deacon Fuller, are you still there?
Yes, sir. I'm still right here.
How about giving us a prayer tonight?
Sure thing. Get by heart on God. Lord, we ask you right now that you come and you deliver us from a Nineveh situation, Lord. We're standing here in a society, Lord, that is a Nineveh-based society, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you just strengthen you that the word be heard, and that we be the beacons of light there so the world can see that Jesus is the truth, he's the way, and he's the life. Lord, we ask you right now that you just touch every household represented on this call right now, Lord. Touch Pastor, give him strength, give him a supernatural strength to keep doing your will, Lord, and protect his household, Lord. We thank you for what we have heard. We thank you for what we have seen and witnessed. And, Lord, we ask you that you apply the lessons to our heart, Lord, that so when we go out and leave away from this time tonight, Lord, that we go out through this world, Lord, with a new perspective within a Nineveh society. We thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. We thank you for saving us from our sins, Lord. And we thank you for talking to us day by day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
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 Well, thank you for being on the line tonight. Thank all of you. Don't forget Wednesday, second Sunday. Don't forget Revival, June the 9th, June the 10th. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. Come to First Baptist and be in revival with us. So until we see you at First Baptist, God bless you. Y'all have a good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
When I woke up this morning, I said thank you, Lord. When I rose this morning, I said thank you, Lord. When I rose this morning,
when I woke up this morning,
I told myself thank you,
Lord.
I wanna thank you,
thank you.
Thank you.
I thank you.
I know you woke me.
You woke me right on time.
When I woke up this morning.
When I woke up this morning.
You know what? I was closed
in my right mind.
When I rose this morning. if it wasn't for you,
oh, Lord,
I would be alive.
I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
I thank you, Jesus.
The same.
I thank you, Jesus.
I thank you.
I thank you, Jesus.
You've been
oh, yes.
good.
I thank you,
You've
Jesus.
Been so kind.
I thank
if
you,
it wasn't
Jesus.
For you,
I, thank
I wouldn't
Jesus.
Be alive.
I thank you, Jesus.
I tell
oh, yes.
the Lord.
I thank you, Jesus.
Lord, you know.
I thank you, Jesus.
I thank you.
I thank
I wish I had,
I thank you,
somebody to help me call.
I thank you,
can I get away?
I thank you,
can I get somebody
I thank you,
to help
boy.
Me call?
I thank you,
oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
I thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
You've been good to me.
I thank you, Jesus.
You want me.
Oh, Lord.
Right on time.
I thank you, Jesus.
And you called me.
Oh, Lord.
I wouldn't be alive.
I'm
going from the back.
Oh,
you don't believe.